Welcome back to the Trailing Three podcast. I'm your host, Zach Cunningham, here with you on Tuesday, March 26th. It's about 10:45 a.m. Just giving you a brief Mavs update of what's going on. If you haven't read the great article by Tim Cato and Jack Kemp, available on theathletic.com, it's a great piece about some thoughts for Dallas's upcoming free agency, just some notes on that. If you haven't checked it out, go ahead and give it a look. Tim Cato has become a very great reporter. He's very plugged in, and Jack Kemp has some great insights as well. Also another great reporter for The Athletic. I definitely recommend subscribing. We've been hearing the name Bohan Bogdanovic tossed around a lot on Mavs Twitter these days, currently the starting small forward for the Indiana Pacers. While he would be a great fit for Dallas going forward next season as far as another shooter and, yes, another Euro player to add to the Mavericks' growing Euro roster, Tim Cato is not as bullish on his availability, as Indiana has really done well with him on the floor, and especially since Victor Oladipo has gone out, Bogdanovic has really played well lately. Not to mention he had a great playoffs last year in which he really pushed LeBron around and showed some definite promise. A name I've mentioned before on Mavs Twitter as far as who would be a great fit and a great defender next to Luka, also would allow for Luka to never have to face him again, is Patrick Beverley. Now, I know there has been some animosity between him and a few of the fans at a game this year to where a Mavericks fan was actually banned from the stadium. Hopefully that could be ironed out. But Patrick Beverley is a name that's mentioned as well, who would be a great wing defender at the two spot. I don't know if this is the two spot, but it would be a great wing defender for Dallas going forward and will be an unrestricted free agent this summer. Probably the most interesting name that I've seen mentioned in this article is Paul Millsap, who has a team option for $30 million this summer for the Denver Nuggets. Now, they are poised to make a deep playoff run. We'll see how that goes. I am almost 100% positive that Denver will not pick up that $30 million team option this summer, but Millsap is a name that's been tossed around in the article as well. A fascinating option for Dallas should he enter unrestricted free agency. So as we wind down the season here, the Mavericks has 9 games left in the season. Kristaps Porzingis is not going to play in the last 9 games of any of them the rest of the season. Tim McMahon had a great piece recently about how it's very hard for Kristaps to sit out the rest of these games, knowing that he is actually physically capable of entering, of playing. He could play if he wanted to, at least that's what he tells us. But he and his team, including his brothers, have agreed to not play, to spend this the rest of this year and this summer working on his biomechanics, which he says have greatly improved. He's more aware of how his body functions. Hopefully he can prevent more catastrophic injuries from happening in the coming years, and that his future with the Dallas, which doesn't seem to be in doubt at all anymore. I know there was a little bit of a sentiment after the trade happened that maybe Kristaps would sign the qualifying offer with the Mavericks, especially considering they weren't on his list of 4 teams that he would prefer to be traded to when he spoke to the Knicks front office. I really don't think that sentiment is even relevant anymore. Dallas is going to offer Kristaps a max contract offer of 5 years, $158 million. He's not going to get that kind of money ever again. Like, this is the time to cash in. Taking a qualifying offer would be literally unprecedented in this case, would be leaving tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on the table. I really don't think that is going to be a problem. He seems to have grown into the role here that he's going to be playing in Dallas. The fans absolutely love him. He loves Luka. He's always wanted to play with Dirk. He's even trying to get Dirk to come back next year so he can play with Dirk. So that alone should put to rest any concerns that Kristaps is somehow not going to be a Dallas Maverick, not only for next year, but also long term. Kristaps has also made mention that he is notoriously impatient, almost seems to kind of make light of it, and that sitting out this year has been very hard, but he is actually very proud of himself for being patient. I know we're all just waiting for October at this point to get to see him on the floor with everybody. One of the things that Tim Cato and other people have mentioned now is when you're looking at Dallas's offseason plans for this summer, you need to also be keeping in mind next summer. Obviously, when the Mavericks drafted Kostas Antetokounmpo last year with the 60th overall pick in the 2018 draft, that was clearly laying some groundwork for a pursuit of Giannis Antetokounmpo when he does enter free agency in the next couple years. 2021 is actually the summer when his current contract will be up. So 2021 free agency is also a very relevant year, not only for that, but clearly for Dallas now, having apparently moved forward their window to be a competitor in the Western Conference, a playoff contender. Things are now definitely moving faster. You don't just want to put all your chips in the 2019 free agency basket when you're also preparing for basically a 3-year project, if not 4 or 5-year project. Some of the names that are going to be available in 2021 free agency are Bradley Beal, who will be 28, Andre Drummond, if he takes that player option in 2020. He will be 28 in 2021. Obviously, Giannis will be 26, which is crazy, in 2021. A name that I want to keep an eye on, too. I don't see why the Thunder would ever intend to let him even get close to getting out of there. Is Steven Adams. He'll be 28 in 2021 free agency. He's on a current four-year, $100 million extension, I think. He would be... I've always loved Steven Adams. Love how he plays. He's a big, tough, physical rebounder. Can make his free throws. Can finish above the rim. And he's just a hilarious dude. I always thought he would make a great Maverick. But 2021 free agency has got to play a role in how you approach 2019. For example, if you throw a max contract at Kemba Walker this summer just because you have the money and everything else has panned out, you're kind of lowering your ceiling, not only for this summer, but also capping yourself for the next several years just because you wanted to make a max offer to somebody. You got to be thinking about the next couple summers down the road as well. Clearly, we're all watching the Tankathon standings very, very closely. Currently, Dallas is sitting at the sixth worst record in the NBA, half a game ahead or behind, however you want to look at it, of Washington and Memphis, who are currently tied for seventh. New Orleans is just one game back at ninth, and New Orleans are actually kind of concerns me here. And the Lakers are lurking there now, three games behind Dallas in the 10th spot. At 32 and 41. So Dallas, Washington, and Memphis are sitting there within a half game of each other. New Orleans is a game back, all for four different, you know, spots in the lottery standings right now. So currently, if the season were to end today, Dallas would have the sixth worst record. They would have a 37.2% chance of landing a top four pick and the 9% chance of landing the number one overall pick, which is pretty good. However, that is to say they have a 63% chance of not landing in the top four and a 9% chance of landing, a 91% chance of not hitting the top spot. One thing that there has been some confusion on, Dallas's pick to Atlanta this year is top five protected, but if you're a frequent visitor to tankathon.com, the way the draft lottery odds work now is the odds are either for top four or number one overall. They're not for top five. If you go to the more option and then click on pick odds, you will actually see a detailed breakdown of what picks are even possible for a team with a certain slot. Currently, Dallas, like I said, is in the sixth slot. They literally cannot land the fifth pick in this current spot. They have a 9% chance of landing number one, a 9.2% chance of landing number two, 9.4% chance of landing number three, and a 9.6% chance of landing number four. You add those up, you get 37.2. Number five is blank. And then you have a 8.6% chance of staying in the sixth spot, which would convey to Atlanta. You actually have a 29.7% chance, the highest of any individual pick odds, to go seventh, a 20.6% chance of going eighth, a 3.7% chance of landing ninth, and a 0.2% chance of actually slipping all the way down to 10th, which would still convey to Atlanta. If Dallas were to somehow move up past Atlanta into the fifth worst spot, only then would landing top five actually be an option. So the way the odds work are a little screwy. If Dallas does stay in the sixth spot, you might say, well, Dallas is top five. Why do I care about top four percentage? Well, because that's literally all they can do. They can't land the top five. And if they land in the top four, it would be protected anyways. So it's an interesting little, could be partially confusing mechanic of the draft, but it's definitely good to keep an eye on. One thing I want to make mention of here before we go, remaining schedule strength. Dallas currently has the 21st hardest remaining schedule for the next nine games. They have games against the Sixers, the Thunder, and the Spurs, but also have two huge games left against Memphis, a game against the Suns, and then they're also playing the Timberwolves, Heat, and Kings. The teams that I mentioned that are in competition with Dallas for lottery positioning, New Orleans has the 25th easiest schedule remaining. Washington is right there at 26th. And Memphis actually has the 12th hardest remaining schedule. New Orleans has the 25th hardest. Washington has the 26th hardest, and Memphis has the 12th hardest. So there's a good chance that while Dallas will probably lose quite a few of these last few games, New Orleans and Washington also have very easy schedules going out too, so Dallas can look at that and maybe breathe a bit of a sigh of relief. Memphis is going to be a little bit tough because they, like I said, play Dallas twice more. They're already resting Conley. They did somehow manage to beat the Thunder last night, which was really weird, but Memphis could very well pull back ahead of Dallas in the lottery standings, but I wouldn't count on New Orleans and Washington making a run. A losing run, that is, and getting back in front. This has been the inaugural podcast launch with Anchor. I'm working on getting this distributed to other platforms like Spotify. I'll keep you guys updated on how that goes. I'll post the link down below as well. But if you guys enjoyed, leave a thumbs up. Hope you guys have enjoyed the content. We'll keep going with this and trying to get back into it.